Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond on sort of a non-sunny day. I don't know, maybe this gives us a little of that creepy, eerie Halloween feeling to see how not sunny it is out there. But Halloween has become one of the biggest holidays. I think Jim said next to Christmas, it's kind of gotten to be the biggie holiday. But when related to food, Halloween is probably the only American holiday that is not associated with a particular kinds of food. You know, we think of Christmas and Thanksgiving. Many families have traditional foods that they plan to share with their friends, share with their family. And, you know, as you traditionally go back and say, well, we have to have whatever that is, a turkey on Thanksgiving or ham on Christmas or a certain kind of cookie or a certain kind of pie. You know, many families have those traditions of kinds of food that go with that particular holiday. And probably even with birthdays. I know some families, you know, it's whatever that birthday person wants, that's the special food for that day. But Halloween, probably related mostly to candy. As you look back in time, and I've scoured through several historical sources to kind of look at this, I think of popcorn balls as one of the things that many people started making and giving for trick-or-treating, were those yummy popcorn balls. And then came the time, you know, when we had this big scare of some nasty-minded people putting things in the food they gave away that hurt children or hurt whoever was going to eat it. And then it became mostly no homemade kinds of things. It all had to be packaged up. Unless maybe there's some neighborhoods that still do their own homemade kinds of things. But, of course, like most holidays, most kinds of things in history, Halloween goes way, way back in history and in a number of different countries. Ireland had a much of a history related to celebration of the dead and remembering the dead and practices that related to that. Now, trick-or-treating actually became popular in the United States and then around the world between 1920 and 1950. Before that, well, there were some other things that went on much earlier. Reports of trick-or-treaters, but not called trick-or-treaters, exist in Massachusetts as early as in the 1920s, but not until the 40s in North Carolina, Florida, and Texas. But beyond that, it just sort of exploded. But going back before that time, an early American kind of celebration or, shall we say, just thinking about and treating it as a special day, went back to Guy Fawkes Day in England. And Guy Fawkes tried to kill the king by blowing up a lot of explosives, and the king survived. So it became a celebration day every year to celebrate that the king was still alive. So that carried over to the early colonies in the 17th and 18th centuries. But that kind of gave way to doing something on Thanksgiving. So trick-or-treating really started in Thanksgiving time. And why did this start? Well, it was the custom for children to dress up and beg from house to house on the last Thursday in November. At first, the poorer children would dress and cast off ragged clothes and beg something for Thanksgiving from their wealthier neighbors. But soon all kinds of children got involved. They thought this looked pretty fun, and the custom grew more popular and costumes more elaborate. The Thanksgiving masquerade existed until the late 1930s. So we're seeing how that sort of overlapped with the beginning of what we know as trick-or-treating. And then that all kind of went away, and the explosion of, you know, special costumes and parties and all of the things that went with that. Now, what happened is some of you will have stories to tell about what you did or had done to you at Halloween time, and those weren't all good things. So in the 1930s, people, householders, got fed up with soaped windows and lots of other things. I mean, you can hear some really wild stories about what went on. So that's when a person, Doris Hudson Moss, decided in 1939 to have sort of an open house for the neighborhood children. And she writes about this in the magazine, The American Home. And that's significant because it sort of was the first really expression used, trick or treat. And it became widely used in mass circulation. So that's probably when that term really got started. But this was a way to treat children, sometimes it was adults, of course, but mostly children at that time, to prevent vandalism. And it is the post-war years that are generally regarded as the glorious heyday of trick-or-treating, although I think now it's just gone crazy with decorations and adults and children getting involved with all kinds of Halloween things. But the consumer economy grew by leaps and bounds when it came to Halloween. All of a sudden, especially the candy companies got into the business of promoting Halloween and promoting sometimes special kinds of things for Halloween. And think about after World War II, there was no longer sugar rationing, and so it really became possible. Now, as you look back to some of the kinds of candy especially that was available, well, that varied too. It started out in the 1920s. There was a profusion of candies in orange and black. There were orange gumdrops, orange jelly beans, orange buttercups, and chips and hard candies. And there were black, usually licorice, gumdrops and jelly beans. And, there had never been black candy, really, other than licorice. So that kind of went over the edge when it came to Halloween. And they made dainty little things as well as all of these other Halloween things related with witches and black cats and so on. So then in the information I have, it talks about Halloween candies of the 1950s. Well, now we're getting to some eras that you all will remember, some of you. The Goelitz Company, G-O-E-L-I-T-Z, was the one who made candy corn. And that company is no longer in business because they were purchased by another company. So candy corn, of course, goes on. Brock's had Harvest jelly beans and a panned mix. Hershey's Kisses, Hershey's Miniatures, Buttercream Pumpkins, Fleer's Double Bubble Gum, Pure Sugar Apples, Jordan Almonds, Caramel Creams, Reed's Butterscotch Squares, and Tootsie Rolls, Starlight Kisses, Roasted Peanuts and Shells, Tootsie Roll Handy Pack, a Chocolate Bridge Mix, Spiced Jelly Beans, Fireside Marshmallows. Those were all started in the 50s. And, of course, many of those you recognize and they're still available. Well, moving on to the 60s, of course, businesses had to just keep on trying to make it bigger and better. And one of the things that was available was made in a cellophane bag. This was a popcorn company. They made a cellophane bag filled with, I'm skipping over something here. The cellophane bag was filled with, now get this, 14 miniature boxes of plump sun-made raisins. That's what every kid wanted in their bag, I'm sure, was this little box of sun-made raisins. I kind of like them, but probably not for a Halloween treat. So back to the popcorn thing. TV Time Popcorn put together a package. It did contain some popcorn to be popped, but it had a unique plastic feed bag. It was like an apron with a big pocket across the front, and that could be worn over the youngsters' necks. And the feed bag naturally is intended to hold fistfuls of popcorn. But kids wanted other things, and that's part of those long list of candies, I'm sure. So, as I said, this feed bag, can you envision that? A feed bag that you put over the kid's neck wouldn't hold as much as a pillowcase, I'm sure. that was the TV time popcorn. And as I said, it did hold some popcorn grains, some oil and salt ready to go if you had the popcorn popper. Probably in the 1960s, we had microwaves, but I'm thinking there might not have been quite as much microwavable popcorn on the shelf as there is now. So then also in the 60s, that's when it's just sort of exploded in terms of what the ads were. Have you noticed the ads for candy that you might use for Halloween? Some things like Bit of Honey. We hadn't mentioned that. Of course, Butterfingers. Candy cigarettes. Do we still have those on the market? I don't know. Of course, candy corn. We mentioned that. Candy Kisses. Caramels. Chuckles. Remember Chuckles? Remember we're talking about the 60s. Some of these still available. Still not. Cracker Jacks. Cutie Face Suckers. Forever Yours. Fruit Drops. Hershey Bars of all kinds, of course. Huck Finns. That's something I haven't seen on the shelf and don't know for sure what that is. Jelly Beans, of course, still all kinds of jelly beans. Lifesavers, of course, M&Ms of all kinds. And now you know they make special packages with the appropriate holiday colors in them. Mason Candies, that's not one that I'm familiar with. Of course, Milky Ways, Nestle Bars, O. Henry Bars. Bubblegum, Polly Pops, fruit flavored. That's not one that I'm familiar with. Powerhouse Bars, Snickers, Three Musketeers, you know, some of those still very much what you find on the market. Whatever, what are your plans for the treats that you provide for those visitors? And then you hope there's some left over. So, happy Halloween and happy birthday to Rod Christensen.